if you don't sanction these people, what message does it send if you don't sanction them, if you don't call them out? And so by designating them under the executive order, it allows us to shine a spotlight on who these people are, and we make it harder for them to conduct their business by freezing their assets, having restrictions on your visa, and being limited in your ability to travel, and worrying about if your money is going to get tied up into some foreign bank account. These are very real possibilities. So I wouldn't, these are not symbolic. We don't do symbolic sanctions.
I understand. Mr. Hook, I think the other question is about the spotlight. It seems that Trump administration is studying the political structure of Iran real hard. Before, only the facade of the regime was targeted. And now you're targeting people known to the insiders, the ones who are in the shadows, if I want to use your term of spotlight. How did you achieve this? How is the procedure of this, let's say, micro-targeting? In my point of view, as an Iranian, this is a micro-targeting. Maybe not so many people know Mr. Jannati out of Iran.
Well, thank you for that question. It's nice to hear a question like that because you're exactly right. We do spend a lot of time going deep into the regime. Ahmad Jannati is not a well-known figure. He's a very obscure figure, but he's very well-known to the Iranian people because he's been disqualifying people from running for office for 40 years. And if the regime really is a republic, it should not be afraid of the voice of its own people. So we're going to continue to expose the regime figures who like to hide in the shadows so that we deny Iran the ability to get away with presenting Foreign Minister Zarif as the only face of the regime.
Mr. Hook, the other question is about Iranian regional activities. You said a few times that you are preventing or trying to prevent Iran of funding proxies in the region, and you were quite successful. Do you have details of how and which proxies suffered or are suffering currently due to maximum pressure campaign? Can you give us details?
Well, Iran's economic collapse has made it much harder for the regime to fund its proxies at historic levels. And now we are seeing its proxies like Hezbollah suffer funding shortfalls because the Iranian regime doesn't have the revenue that it used to give to Hezbollah. We have forced the regime to make a choice between guns in Beirut or butter in Tehran. And this is a choice that the regime is not used to making. Hamas is now running an austerity budget, and Hezbollah has had to do fundraising campaigns to make up the deficit caused by our sanctions. And this is why it's so important to not allow business as usual with Iran, because money from business transactions finds its way onto the battlefield of Syria and to the missiles from Hezbollah that land in Israel, and rockets from Hamas that land in Israel. And so this is what we're trying to stop. Our sanctions are helping to disrupt and deter attacks that otherwise would happen by proxies.
Mr. Hook, let's stay focused on region. I have one more question, and that's about Mr. Pompeo's visit to Riyadh. While in Saudi Arabia, he visited an American military air base. That's what you announced in your briefing. How shall we read this presence in a military base? Is this like a new phase of the maximum pressure campaign? Does it mean anything that he visited a military base there?
Yes, it does. It's a signal that the United States is committed to helping Saudi Arabia improve its defenses against Iranian aggression. Our partnership militarily is strong with Saudi Arabia, and so much of the stability in the Middle East depends upon Saudi Arabia being able to defend itself against attacks. And so Secretary Pompeo was very pleased that he was able to travel there with Ambassador Abizaid, the former CENTCOM commander. And it was a good way for the world to see that we are committed to restoring deterrence. It's a big part of our overall policy is to restore deterrence against Iranian aggression. And our partnership with Saudi Arabia helps to do that.
Mr. Hook, I would like to get an update about this humanitarian channel. You talked about it during your briefing, but you called it a testing. Is this just a test, or the channel's actually executed and now it's working? How is it going?
Well, the first transaction was our pilot transaction. That was successful. And then now we're going to be executing more transactions as soon as possible.
And another question, I'm going to go to the plane incident we had, the Flight 752. Are you following that up? Are you collaborating with Canada about it? Or is there any update for us?
I met yesterday with Canadian government officials who were in town for the U.S.-Canada Strategic Dialogue. We had a very lengthy conversation about Iran's lack of cooperation and full transparency. Iran is still keeping the black boxes in its custody, and it's very important for the families that Iran operate transparently and not play cat and mouse on the investigation.